Woo! Woo!
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook it raw with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? Answer me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap race dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jet, Slow Express. Out the country, but the blueberry still connects. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace him with cheap imitations.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn ball. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl.
What the hell are you waiting for?
What you made me do, look what I made for you. Knew if I pay my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drive a couple of hits, look how they wave to you. From R.C. to Madison Square, to the only thing that matters in just a matter of years. A safe will have it, J status appears, the B at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like George, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, it's to aim at you. Probably maim you, if I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens. Cops have to take one for your team, and I need you to remember one thing. I came, I saw, I conquered. From record sales, sold out concerts. So motherfucker, if you want this encore, I need you to scream till your lungs are sore.
Ow! It's star time. This man is me.
What's up, ladies and gents? We're back. Another edition of Left Hook Lounge Radio. I'm your host, Vivek Wallace. Soon to be joined by a very special guest. Tonight, we got my man, DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley in the building. A lot of you guys remember him from the initial showdown with Floyd Mayweather. Very interesting night of action there. For some, it was the first time that really had an opportunity to see Floyd Mayweather really buzz. And although he was able to get the W and sneak out with the win that night, apparently he was impressed with Chop Chop enough to where they remain friends. And he actually has him in camp as one of the lead sparring partners leading into this Pacquiao fight. Chop Chop over the years obviously has been a very, very credible, crafty, seasoned southpaw. Definitely one of the more notable of this era. And I don't think we could bring a better person in, particularly with him hanging out down there at the Mayweather gym prepping Floyd up for this fight. So we're going to have him in the building with us tonight. A lot of boxing to talk. Some of you, judging by the emails, Facebook messages, et cetera, it looks like a lot of you still have, which I think is kind of funny, but a lot of you still have the fights from last weekend on your mind. So at some point we may touch on that a little bit. A lot of action going on this weekend. Pretty interesting fights, actually. Looks like we'll have the Chavez-Fonfera fight is going to be taking place. We got Crawford-Delermo. And another one that I think is going to be really big, probably be the fight of the night with Provodnikov and Matisse. I don't know how I see that one, to be honest. That's going to be a headbanger's ball right there. Should be a really interesting night of action. But we're going to stick to the script. We'll get Chop Chop in the building with us in a few minutes. But till we get him here, I guess I can go ahead and set the tone by going over some of the things that's, you know, relative to this Mayweather-Pacquiao showdown. Some of you may have witnessed tonight what I guess the little bit there was to witness of the media day for Manny Pacquiao. You know, honestly, I thought that I maybe missed the time, or, you know, maybe I was like, what the hell happened there? Literally, I turned it on, walking around, doing a few things, thinking that they're going to be talking to some of the media members, et cetera. I saw them talking to Kieran Mulvaney, who we ironically had on the show earlier this week, but talking to him, a couple other guys, next thing you know, it was over. So we didn't get an opportunity to... talk about, a few notes to write down, a few things to look at. wasn't really a whole lot going on over at the Wild Card Gym today, and I'm not sure what the purpose of that was. I know there was a lot of talk from in that direction, with a lot of individuals saying, you know, pretty much criticizing the Mayweather camp for the tardiness with their media day yesterday. This one started on time, but nothing really happened. So, yeah, not a good look right there, but I guess it is what it is. I'm sure Pacquiao will be ready come fight night when it's time for them to step into the ring. So definitely nothing going on right there. But aside from that, it's been a little bit of verbal jabbing going along in the media, which I think is really interesting. I know initially a lot of people were saying Mayweather was oddly a little quiet, you know, leading into this fight. Kevin, I was reminding them, if you go back and trace the hints and check the fouls, he's always, pretty much has always started slow with the camp. You know, talk a little bit on the press tour, if there is one. Once they get into training, the first couple weeks, the first month, even month and a half sometime, he usually keeps a fairly low profile. If guys are in his face with a microphone, they'll say a little bit. But generally, doesn't really say a whole lot. And this time has been more or less the same, although it's starting to pick up. You know, 2 weeks out, we're hitting that zone where I guess he's feeling the confidence and he's starting to talk, and I like that. But we're also getting a little bit from the other side. You know, Manny Pacquiao came out today, made a few comments stating that basically he'll be ready to go at a high pace for the full 12 rounds. And saying that he more or less hopes that Mayweather can keep up, for lack of better terms, and, you know, basically saying that he's going to come to bring it, which we knew, you know, but did think it was really interesting. He also tipped his hat at Mayweather needing to stand in a pocket and fight him a little bit. Thought those were some pretty interesting comments. I don't have a quote, but for those of you who skim the headlines like I do looking for quotes, I'm sure you've sure you crossed that one so far. But same old, same old. I mean, every day it seems like we're looking at similar stories, subplots, et cetera. And I think that's what it's going to be as we get closer. One thing I do think is interesting, I'm going to throw this out there before we get chop-chop on. I had an opportunity to look at First Take today. Stephen A. Smith, Skip Brainless, not Bayless, Brainless, that's what I call him. I actually like Skip. One-on-one, I think Skip is actually a pretty cool guy, but some very, very disparaging remarks, really interesting stuff, where he was bold enough to even say publicly, which is crazy to me. I don't even think this is something you should say for shock value, but he did. He came out and said that Manny Pacquiao, basically Marvelous Marvin Hagler, should not even be in the same sentence with the Manny Pacquiao. That I thought was really, really interesting. I'm still in total shock and disbelief that he even went there. You know, this, I mean, when you look at resumes, I do think Pacquiao is absolutely accomplished, more accomplished, but to say that they don't belong in the same sentence, you know, I can't think of anything, and I'm a huge Pacquiao fan, I can't think of anything that I would say really separates them on a level that profound, where you should not mention one as a parallel next to the other. Marvelous Marvin Hagler did not have 8 titles in 8 different divisions, all the stuff we hear. Flip side to that, though, he didn't defeat a lot of the men he faced by way of catch weights or different little shenanigans, never ran away from a drug test. Some will say he was never asked to take one, but, hey, he didn't do things that we've seen Pacquiao do, so we're not going to get into that one tonight. But I just thought it was really interesting and ignorant, for lack of better terms, to even say that. Great fighters, both of them Hall of Famers easily, but I thought that was, I don't know, I was a little miffed by that one. So got that going on. What else is going on in the world of boxing? Let me see. There was one thing that I definitely wanted to touch on. and it has a little bit to do with some of the stuff we've heard, which I'm sure Chop Chop, when he comes in, will be able to clarify a little bit. There was some talk earlier in this week, and I'm going to touch on this at the recommendation of one of the fight fans out there, Virtue of Facebook Message, who, Charlie, I'm going to throw this out there for you. Thank you for the topic, my man. Basically talking about the fact that Mayweather had been rumored to have the split lip and the hurt hand, some of the stuff that we heard. And yesterday at Media Day, you know, it came and has gone. You know, we had the opportunity to see Mayweather in there, and none of the effects that were mentioned were visible, you know. And I think it just really goes to show that a lot of these guys will do their talking. You know, when it comes to the media, we see a lot of that stuff for whatever reason. And we, when it comes down to it, you know, we always see the reality for what it is. And we did not see any of those things. It apparently was a full workout. There was no delay, no alterations, you know, to train and camp. So, you know, it is what it is. But I was happy to see that all was well. Yesterday when they had the actual media day, a lot of traction with that. There was tons of people out here, that pretty much over 200 credentials or so was involved, media personnel, et cetera, in there just to watch him perform. That's something that's really interesting to me, you know, when it comes to Mayweather. We hear a lot of hate. You know, a lot of people don't like him for different reasons or, you know, and that's good. We all have opinions. But what I do find very intriguing is that people will look at him and basically the respect that they give him is totally based on work ethic and just the fact that this is a guy who, you know, every time he comes, he brings it and he does it the natural way. You know, he puts in work. He's a total gym rat, never really out of shape. You know, Kane, if you look, going into the beginning of this whole scenario for this particular fight, when they did the promo, we saw him as well as Pacquiao for the commercial. If you guys remember that, if you don't, you definitely want to pull that up. I thought it was really interesting how he came into camp in that particular promo when they had to strip down and do the, you know, the face off for the commercials and all that kind of stuff. You already had a full six pack, looked very good. Pacquiao was a little soft around the waist, around the belly, you know, not quite the same. And that was really, really interesting, I thought, leading into that fight. But let's see, we got another tweet coming in. Let's see what's going on here. We will have Chop Chop in the building, confirmed a little earlier, running late. This is twice we've attempted to get him. Some of you may have seen the pictures that were circulating around there. Not a good look at all, and I'm sure he'll clue us in a little bit more about that as we go through the broadcast tonight. But I want to touch on something really quickly, a message coming in from Jacob. Jacob is asking specifically about Floyd Mayweather and relative to the discussion of him and his power. A lot of people put an emphasis on the fact that he's working with Alex Ariza. What do I expect that to mean for his power come fight night? Well, I mean, let's take a look at that closer. You know, when we look at what Marcos Maidana did with Ariza there, you know, that fight, I don't think from a scoring standpoint was that much stronger, but I do think that his power, his style, kudos to Robert Garcia as a trainer, but in many different ways, I think he presented some wrinkles, and his power was definitely present. When we think of Pacquiao in the past, I think we saw that it was relevant there that his power was present. This will be the first time that Floyd Mayweather actually enters a fight with some type of formal strength and conditioning from that standpoint. Usually it's all conditioning with Floyd, you know, it's all, you know, calisthenics, the running, the old school stuff. Well, this time around, we actually see that, you know, he's chopping the wood. He's doing a lot of the additional exercises, et cetera. And I think to answer your question, Jacob, fight night, we could very well see a difference in strength. You know, that's something that, you know, a lot of people look at Mayweather as a light puncher, which I don't think I ever really understood. You know, this is a guy who was laying guys out, putting them on their seat for many, many years. He went up in weight and things changed a little bit, you know, but I don't think that he's ever lacked power necessarily. I think it was a matter where he knew he just needed to protect his investment, which was those two hands of his, you know. So to answer your question, though, I do think come fight night, his power could play a role. You're talking about Manny Pacquiao facing a very precise puncher, very, you know, accurate puncher. And this is something that Manny Pacquiao is going to have to deal with. You know, now, flip side to that, obviously, Floyd's going to have to deal with some things on his end, too. You know, so this is going to be a very, very interesting fight from that standpoint. We've broken it down enough. And I unfortunately, it's not going to stop there. We'll be doing this a lot more leading up to the fight. But it is what it is. I think that Floyd will come prepared. I think Pacquiao will come prepared. I don't see, you know, any type of issue whatsoever when it comes to preparation for these guys. I think both guys will be ready. We heard about the cramping, all of that stuff from Pacquiao's corner. Suddenly they went away from the, you know, the, what do you call it? The elevation run in the mountains, all that kind of stuff. You know, we saw him go away from that, and now they're doing pretty much just the tracks, and he's said to be doing much, much better. You know, so I'm assuming that we're going to get the best Manny Pacquiao, you know, come May 2nd. So I anticipate that. I don't think that changes at all. You know, so we'll have to see how that goes down. But let's see here. Looks like, yeah, I think we got my man Chop Chop in the building with us. Let's see if we can go ahead and pull him in. Chop Chop, are you with us?
Yes. Good evening. How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up, big man? Thanks for jumping in with us. How's it going?
Sorry I'm late, man.
Hey, it's all good, man. I know you're not sitting around waiting to talk to me, so it's all good, man. I know you got things going on. How are the feet doing, man? Them pictures look pretty bad.
The reason I'm late, I had to get in the shower and take a shower and get cleaned up. I haven't showered in 2 days, and I had to get the feet cleaned up. They're getting better.
Now, you have, you know, some of them out there may know, you have a fight coming up here in another little, right, I think right at a month or so. You know, okay, I see you got the countdown going exactly. Now, with, I mean, in light of this incident with your feet and that whole scenario, how is that looking? You going to be able to rock in a month from now?
I'm going to be able to dance like James Brown, man. I'm going to get down.
Hey, you know what? I guess that was a dumb question. Some of these guys we see in the sport today, we probably got to ask that kind of stuff with, but you've always been a trooper, and trust me, there's no coincidence that Floyd decided to pull you in when you had to look for some crafty southpaws to work with. Before we get into that, though, I do want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your bout that's coming up May 15th or so. Tell the fight fans out there who, you know, may not have been aware that you had the fight or don't know the specifics on it. Tell us a little bit about that fight, that opponent, and how that's going so far.
It's going great as we speak right now. The opponent is Manny Perez. He fought Victor Ortiz last year in December. He didn't have the good side of that, but he moved up the welterweight, something he shouldn't have done. I mean, I've done it before also. He realized he's a lightweight fighter. He's better off fighting at a lighter weight.
Okay. You know, speaking about weight, man, it's funny. I was talking to a fight fan earlier on Facebook. I was telling him that you would be coming on the show, and he was commenting that, you know, they talk about fighters who stay in shape and how some guys, between fights, they blow up, things like that. He was mentioning that he's never really seen you out of shape or heavy. And tell us a little bit about what you do between fights, man. Like, are you the consummate gym rat like a Mayweather and some of these guys? How do you do it between fights? I've never seen you out of shape either.
No, I'm not going to say I'm a gym rat, but I love to exercise and I love my body. And over the years, I look at my body as a temple. My body is a car, and I love to drive it. But it also takes time where you have to put your car in the shop and get maintenance done to it. So order for it to perform the way you want it to perform. Me having a lot
good
of kids
stuff right
keeps
there.
Me young. Me having a lot of children keeps me young and full of energy, and I have no time to sit around and gain weight and go out and party like the other guys. I mean, I have 11 children, and I love having fun and playing with them, so that keeps me busy.
That's beautiful, man. Now, I come from a family of eight, and with us, I can tell you, there's never a dull moment. I'm number seven in the lineup, so I'm towards the bottom. I got siblings pushing 55 plus right now. So, it's a wide range of ages, but like I said, it was never a dull moment. Tell us a little bit about that before we even get to this whole Mayweather-Pacquiao stuff. How is it with 11 kids, man? That's a huge family. How's that?
It's fun, man. It's fun. Like you said, it's never a dull moment. All the way from the 2-year-old up to the 23-year-old, it's never a dull moment. We always having fun playing, especially the boys. I have 6 boys and 5 girls, and just 3 Christmas ago was the best Christmas I ever had in my life. Ever.
Wow.
Me and five of the other boys before my 2-year-old was born, all 5 of us, we went camping for Christmas in the cold. And we all ordered paintball guns for Christmas, and we had the gear on. So it was a shootout at night, a shootout during the daytime. We got a chance to just step back and laugh with each other, take pictures. Videotape. I put a lot of stuff on Instagram and Facebook when I went camping. My son, the bathroom was out of order, so you know what he had to do because the bathroom was too far to get to the next one. So I got him on video using the bathroom outside, and then they chased me. I didn't have my gun at the time, and they got his gun, and they chased me while I was recording, and they shooting at me. I fell in the creek. My iPad went in the water. It was a party.
Damn, that must be a blast, man. I think about it. I know in my family, man, when we get together, not that we're able to as often as we like because we're all over the place on the map, but when we're able to actually get together, man, it's like old times. And that type of bond is one that very few people can relate to, man. That's awesome. You know, I can definitely appreciate that coming from a big family. But let's go ahead and switch gears. And let's look at Mayweather-Pacquiao. You know, obviously this journey for you, which I think is really funny, and this whole thing, man, I was telling someone earlier, and I had an opportunity to talk to you about this before as well, how when this fight was signed, your fight with Floyd was one of the ones that I spent a lot of time breaking down. And I think some people might remember or some might have glanced at it and, you know, had some thoughts. But when you look at that fight, you came in there with a really, really interesting strategy, and I think you gave Floyd a little bit more hell than, you know, some people may have given you credit for. Let me take you back to 2005, I think that was. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to actually be the guy on the other side of Floyd for 12 rounds. How was that experience?
2003, May 22nd.
There you go.
It was a great experience. I mean, we trained Floyd. We knew he had great boxing skills, and we knew that I could not box Floyd. So the way we trained was to make Floyd exchange with me. I'm not the average 140-pounder that don't have the power of a welterweight or a junior welterweight. I have extreme explosive power. And the key was to get Floyd to exchange. And if we can get him to exchange and catch him in exchange, that would be the only chance we would have of getting him out of it. In the first round, it was technical. The second round, it was more strategy, mixing the punches up. And in the third round, the door had opened, and I hit him. And that was the moment I should have finished him. but he got back against the ropes and went into his defense shield fighting, and I wasn't able to catch him again. And he didn't realize that I was too strong for him right then and there. And then in the fourth round, he threw a sweeping check. We call it the check hook. He threw a check hook. And immediately I rolled under his hook, and I pulled my Calvin right hook, which is my weapon. And I hit him, and I hurt him again. And he was really gone that time. And he went back up against the ropes and put the shoulder up. And once he realized that I was too strong for him inside physically, that he couldn't outpower me, he went to tactic number two. I'm a boxer's kid. I know I got more skills than him, so let me use my skills. Kick. And he started placing punches on me to break me down in the later round.
Yeah, that was a hell of a fight, man. Definitely. And I'm thinking about a lot of those little specific details as I listen to you break it down. You know, let me ask you this. When you think back to that point, because you were one of the more tested guys, definitely one of the more tested southpaws that a young Floyd Mayweather saw, you know, at that point. When you think back to Mayweather then, and you look at what he has been able to accomplish in the sport now, was there any inclination or idea at that point that he would become who he has become in the world of boxing?
Over the years, after I fought him and getting a chance to work with him twice for two of his previous fights with Ben Mitchell and Brad Buda, I knew it would be hard for a fighter to beat him because his condition is on another planet, and it's not planet Earth right now.
Okay. That takes me to another point. You know, with that was 2003, 2004. Fast forward to 2015, and you're in the gym working with him, or at least you were up until the injury, your feet and that whole scenario. But when you look at Floyd now, what are you seeing when you get an opportunity to spar in there with him? And not asking you to divulge game plan, obviously we got to keep the integrity of that whole thing. But, I mean, the little stuff you can tell us about him, what is it like actually sparring with him for a fight of this magnitude?
It's a great experience to get in there and work with him for the fight of the century. No other fight will ever be bigger than this fight. And to see him evolve over the years from the weight class that we fought at was 140. Now he's at 47. He went to 54, and then he's back down to 47. He has developed, and I've seen with my own eyes, he has developed punching power. And that's something I was always curious about over the years after we fought each other and when we sparred each other for the Zab Judah fight and the Sean Bay Mitchell fight. He still didn't have that punching power when we were sparring. So when he fought Canelo, when he fought Madonna twice, I'm looking at them fights, I'm like, it looked like he has punching power, but I got to get in there for myself to see, do he really have punching power? Like they said, Manny Pacquiao. Shane Moses said, Manny Pacquiao hit him so fucking hard, never been hit that harder than his life. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe Manny Pacquiao punched that hard. Until I get in there and box you, then you can get my opinion on your punching power. And I work with Floyd, and I respect his punching power now.
Okay. Now, what would, I mean, yeah, that's an interesting diversion there because, like I said earlier, I think he's always had decent pop, but, like, mm-hmm. the way you're explaining it and the way that I'm hearing guys through the gym on a daily basis almost, it's definitely at a different level. Do you think this is part of the influence of his work with an Alex Ariza? Do you think it's just his dedication to that particular part of his craft, knowing that he's going to need it to break down this guy? Like, what do you think we could really attribute to this power of his that he seems to be developing for this fight?
His mindset and his will and determination to show everyone that just don't have to box this guy to beat this guy. He has developed power, and I don't know if it's because of the strength and conditioning guy, Ariza, but the way he just motivated and pushes himself to overdrive, and continually go into overdrive. He has built a temple around himself where he's not going to let no one tear it down.
That's an interesting way to put that. Let's look at it from a different perspective, a more historical perspective. Now, you've been around the fight game. I mean, we're going back, what, 96? You've been around for a hot minute now. So you've had an opportunity to see a lot of guys. You've sparred with a lot of guys, faced a lot of guys. You know, your experience is off the chart compared to a lot of us out there. When we look at a guy like Mayweather and we hear him say things like TBE, or, you know, that type of thing, what are your thoughts on his talent from a historical standpoint? Would you rank him up there with the greats ever? What are your thoughts on that whole discussion?
Hands down, TBE symbolizes he is the best ever in this era for the last 20 years, two decades. And until someone is able to dethrone him and take him off that pedestal, that's the label that he should be able to carry, because he has done it and he has proven over the years in several weight classes, regardless how the outcome may look at the end, he's going to come out a winner.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I had David Mayo, who from M Live, who grew up in, or who has been a writer in Michigan, following Mayweather since before. You know, I mean, you're going back to his amateur days. Mayo's been with Mayweather that long, and we were talking last night, and he was touching on a lot of the same things, saying how, you know, his evolution in some respects you wouldn't necessarily have known it, but it's really basically a product of his own drive and dedication to be the best. I don't think a lot of people know, you know, how let me find the right word. I don't think a lot of people really know how intense it is with Mayweather when it comes to really wanting to be the best. It's not just a mantra. Like, he literally eats, sleeps, breathes, shits. I mean, everything is, you know, supportive of his pursuit of being the best, and I think that's incredible. But let's switch gears right quick. Let's talk Manny Pacquiao. You know, when we look at his career, Manny Pacquiao, he didn't start out with the same celebrity as Floyd Mayweather, so to speak. He didn't come from a family of fighters, all of that stuff. He was a fighter that some people really didn't even know much about till he started to pick up steam. But when we hear all the talk about what stop this fight from happening, the drug testing and all of that stuff, when you look at Manny Pacquiao's total career, his evolution, and I'm not asking you to indict anyone, but I do want your thoughts on this, because like I said, you've been in the game for a minute. Do you think there's any merit whatsoever to the notion that Manny Pacquiao was potentially once involved with any type of doping or anything like that? Do you think that his ascent in the sport and his rise to stardom was natural, or do you think there lies a possibility that something, some type of foul play was involved?
I truly believe there was some type of foul play involved. I do believe that he was on something. And when I say on something, it's not necessarily you got to be taking something to be on something. There are ways you can be on things and you don't have to take nothing. It's just the way doctors and scientists know how to give you things or inject stuff in you or inject stuff from you to make you a better fighter. And you will see over the years of Manny Pacquiao, and I watched his fight and how he was getting hammered by bigger guys, and he would just hitting his gloves together and like, come on, give me more. I want more. He kept coming until he just overwhelmed that person.
Yeah. Yeah, we've definitely seen some of that. You know, that's a really, really, really sensitive topic, you know, and I try to steer clear of it for the most part, but I'm a truth seeker, and I like to get opinions on that, because me personally, I was conflicted. In some respects, I felt like it could not be totally natural. I always think about a conversation. I haven't decided if I'm going to release this at some point, but I had an extended conversation with the late, great Emmanuel Stewart. God bless his soul. But we were talking about Manny Pacquiao and the perception of him from a lot of the guys in the industry, trainers, et cetera, as he started to gain notoriety. And, you know, the word that was coming back to him was, you know, there's this kid out of the Philippines, you know, chain smoker, you know, alcoholic in some extent, you know, heavy alcohol, heavy smoker, just a wild man. But he, you know, he gets busy in the ring. And that was kind of the score on him. And Emmanuel Stewart went deeper into this conversation with some things that I don't really feel comfortable letting out, because he's not here to defend them now. But when I think about that and I see where Manny Pacquiao has gotten, it really makes me wonder how a guy who has taken that wear and tear, all the wars he's been in, and a guy who has been that way with his body for so many years could still be at the top of his game at 36 years old. Now, you mentioned that your body's a temple to you. When you look at how strong he's going at this stage, and we see guys like Morales, guys like Barrera, you know, some of those guys who went through wars with him who are no longer, I mean, I won't even say a shell. They've just totally disintegrated. You know, do you think that gives credence to those who feel like Pacquiao was on something? Do you think that supports that argument, or do you think he's really just a freak of nature in that way?
Truthfully, I wouldn't say he's a freak of nature, but if he was doing drinking back in the day, then he cut it out, he detoxed his body and cleaned himself out, he can get more out of his body and condition his body and train proper, his body will last longer than the average fighter who doesn't do that.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that's one of those things, man. It's a really interesting topic, you know, that I definitely try to seek truth on. But let's go to the fight itself, man. Let's look at the styles. And actually, I'm just looking at the time. Before I say this, ladies and gents, I'm going to open up the phone lines in a little bit. If you want to get through to Chop Chop and ask him some questions directly, press 1 now and jump in the calling queue. I got a few of you guys in there now. If you want to get in, jump in now. We're going to go for another 20 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes top. So I'm going to ask him one or two more questions, then we're going to jump out to the phone line. So go ahead and press 1 now if you want to get in and ask Chop Chop some questions live. My question for you, though, DeMarcus, when we look at this particular fight, we look at the styles of this fight. Floyd Mayweather, arguably the best defender of this era. Manny Pacquiao, arguably the best offensive fighter of this era. How do you see it actually playing out when the bell rings on the night of May 2nd?
Very interesting, because we know Floyd's defense and his offense is very great. Manny Pacquiao has great offense and not so much a great defense. It's going to be a chess match, I'd say the first 4.5 rounds. It's going to be chess, and Manny's going to have to try to figure out how to get across that line with the aggressiveness without being counterpunched by Floyd. And Floyd's going to have to figure out how to keep Manny Pacquiao at bay from his aggressive coming forward. Until then, it's a chess match. But once Floyd figures the moves that Manny Pacquiao keep making within the next 12 minutes of the first 4 rounds, it's chess, and then once he figure it out, then that's when he's going to start setting traps, Pacquiao, through round 5-9. And you may not believe me, but I really think he's going to stop Manny Pacquiao in the 10th round.
You know what, Chop? I don't mean to laugh, and I'm definitely not laughing at you. I keep hearing people say that, and I'm going to be very honest with you. In my mind, that's totally beyond the realm of possibility. Like, I have a hard time seeing it, but I do know if the body work is intense, you mix that with that deadly lead right, which Manny Pacquiao's face is literally a magnet for the most part. I do think that that could happen. If you had to put a percentage on that, how strong do, because I hear people keep saying this, I think it's interesting you're saying it, how strong do you think the odds are that he could achieve a stoppage? I can't see it, but you're in the gym with him every day. How strong do you think those odds really are?
I don't know too much about the odds, but I believe 85% he's going to stop Manny Pacquiao in the later round. 85% chance he's going to stop him. Manny makes too many mistakes. He makes too many mistakes to fight a person who only give you one opportunity to catch him and hurt him. And once you get that opportunity, he turns the board over, and you're not playing the same game that you were playing when you hurt him. You look at Shane Mosley hurt him. You look at when I hurt him. Lav Judah even hurt him. Caught him with a good shot and hurt him. He turned the board over and started playing a different game.
Yeah. You know, and that's something that Mayweather has never, I don't think he's ever really gotten much credit for. When you hear him, you hear defense. You might hear one or two other things. Nobody ever really talks about his toughness and his ability to perform under those situations. I'll be honest, sitting in media row for the Mosley fight, when he took that first shot, I remember looking at the young lady next to me telling her that we were about to witness Mayweather's first loss. I didn't see a way out of that for him. And, you know, he took the second shot, and it was like, oh, God, it's a matter of time. But like you said, he totally shifted gears, and it was just a different game after that. And I mean, you had the same Mosley, fast, powerful, good length, the whole 9 yards. None of it meant anything for the next 11 rounds of that fight, 10 rounds, whatever was left. But he totally switched it around, like you said, which is brilliant. When you look at Manny Pacquiao, you spoke about the possibility of a Mayweather stoppage. Pacquiao gets a lot of credit for his power, but he has not really stopped anyone in the last few years. I know you haven't been in a ring with him, but, I mean, do you think there's a chance that Pacquiao could produce a stoppage or come close in this fight?
I don't believe he can, even though he does have great power, and he's a southpaw. And I gotta congratulate my southpaw fighters because I'm a southpaw. So that gives him a little advantage, only because the punches are coming from a different angle. That's why we are dangerous when we fight right-handed, because they can't see the shot that they normally see when they fight a right-handed fighter. But fighting this kind of fighter, Floyd, he's like a goddamn computer. He's programmed to do so many things. I've been in the sport since 1986. I'm the amateurs. I first started boxing in '86. And I wasn't a huge boxing fan, but I pay attention to a lot of stuff, and I see how fighters are and what they do. He's like a computer. It's hard to break a computer if you can't put a virus in it.
Interesting way to put that. Yeah, and that whole computer example, we see a lot with him, because one of the things he's notorious for is collecting that data. It's literally like, as you're doing different things, he's just really, really scoping you to see, okay, this is what he's going to do. Now that I see that he does this and he throws it that way, I'm going to be prepared to do this, that, like, yeah. You do this, he does that. You do that, he does this. That's why I've always said it's, I won't say impossible, but it's nearly impossible to train for a guy like this, because you can bring in speed for sparring. You can bring in power. You can bring in defense. You cannot emulate a mind that deep. And that's what I think makes him very dangerous. But that being said, we're down to about 15 minutes in the segment. So I'm going to go ahead and start taking some calls out there. Ladies and gents, if you want to get in, now's the time to do it. Press 1 if you're already in queue. If not, give us a call directly, 949-943-1665. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I better hold for a second. Let's we'll go a little bit longer before I take calls because I know how this is going to go. I'm looking at the queue now. Let me ask you another question, right, Chop. When
Hold
we
on, before you ask another question.
Uh-huh.
Before you ask another question, you said it clear, perfect. It can't come no clearer than that. You can emulate fighters. You can simulate them, dissect them, do this and do that, but you don't know that man's mindset. His mind is totally different from another fighter's mind, and you're trying to get inside a programmed brain, which is Floyd, and you can't get inside it, so how can you tell what he's going to do? Only the doctor who has to lay him on the table can get inside and tell you what he's thinking, what move he's going to make. Until they hook him up to a machine, he's unpredictable because he's not connected to nothing. And everyone has tried to figure out how to do this, how to break this code, how to stop him from doing this. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, when as much as I feel Manny Pacquiao has a shot in this fight, I think it's a 50-50 fight personally, but I will say this. When you think about it from that perspective, I mean, yeah, Floyd is the wrong guy to get into a chess match with, the absolutely wrong guy, because he just has so many different tools, man. I like to use the term, you know, his proverbial tool belt. In that tool belt, he got a hammer, he got a wrench, he got a saw, he got pliers. If he only needs the pliers, that's all he's going to use all night. A lot of people say, oh, well, he could have did this. He doesn't believe in using tools. He keeps his tools sharp, and he does that by not using them when he don't need them. Against Ricky Hatton, I always tell people, Hatton came in with a lot of pressure, a lot of different angles, all of this stuff. He used two punches all night against Ricky Hatton. You know, he used a check hook, and he used his jab. You know, when he came with pressure, he took his steps back, he landed the check hook, he got the hell out of the way. When he wanted to, he stood in front of him, he threw that lead right, or he threw the jab. But, yeah, man, I mean, he's an amazing fighter. We've seen him with big fighters, fast fighters, small fighters, tall fighters. You know, we've seen times where he's given up 15, 20 pounds to guys and do the same thing to them. So, really interesting, but I want to ask you this question, Chop. This is one that was posed to me, and I want to pose it to you. I had a fight fan ask me which one would be better for Floyd Mayweather's legacy if he actually gets the W in this fight. The question was, would it be better if Floyd was somehow able to nullify the best offense of this era and totally whitewash Manny Pacquiao, or would it be better for his legacy to be in the dogfight where he actually has to get up off the deck and fight a dogfight and win in a way that no one thought he could? When you look at those two options, which one do you think will be better for him and his legacy going forward?
It's funny you ask me that because I'm thinking about it as you're telling me. I got to go with I would go with the second one. I would go with the second one, the dog fight and getting knocked down and getting back up and showing everyone, okay, he caught me with a good shot, but I finished him off at the end of the day. But if, back to the first one, if Floyd see that there's a danger, there's a risk, and there's a point where he can get knocked out, then he's going to continue to use his tactics and break him down and win rounds and show, look, yeah, I could go for the knockout, but it's a chance. I may get knocked out. And my legacy is winning is more important than losing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a really fascinating question. I think that there's strength both ways. I mean, I don't see anyone. I mean, think about it. Manny Pacquiao rarely loses multiple rounds at a time, if at all. He's a gamer. If he finishes the fight on his feet, he is going to be a close fight because no one has been able to really nullify his offense like that. So I think if Floyd can actually do that and whitewash an offense that is that strong, to me that would show total greatness. But at the same time, I respect the position of the people out there who also feel like, well, what would he be like if he did taste adversity? You know, which I'm really not sure why people still feel that way. You gave him adversity. Shane Mosley gave him adversity. Zab Judah gave him adversity. You know, Canelo didn't land flush, but I think Floyd was tied in that fight. That was a mental adversity. But every single fight up to this point, in the end, they've ended the same. So, you know, you got to give credit to a guy like that. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and jump out to the phone lines so we can try and get a couple in before we shut it down for tonight. I'm going to go out to look like we're going to go out to Park in Madison from New York City. We're going to Brooklyn first. Let's go out to Park. You're live on Left Hook Lounge Radio. DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley in the building. Let's talk boxing.
What's up, Vito? Thanks for taking my call, man. It's such a pleasure to speak with Chop Chop, being a having the knowledge and having the resume that he has, and so I'll get right to it because I know we have a long queue. Chop Chop, I've watched a lot of film along with a lot of other gentlemen. I've watched pretty much all of Manny's fights at least three or four times, as well as Floyd. And when I look at the film, I have this saying, men lie, women lie, film don't. And so when I look at this fight, and I look at Mayweather, and I say, he has the he's stronger, he's faster, he has the length, he has the reach. You can't beat him in the middle of the ring. Hello?
I'm here. Hello?
Yeah, okay. You're there.
Sorry.
You're on.
You can't outfit him. You're not going to win a boxing match against him. Pacquiao, which we've seen, Madonna, we've seen Canelo, at least give him a good chance. Looking at all of that, can you tell me, because I'm a novice, what advantages does Pacquiao have? Because I see nothing but a lucky.
That's a good question.
Ooh, you ain't lying.
I mean, I've looked at film so much. I'm looking at film and I'm turning down customer chop. I tell dollars. I'm telling clients, listen, I'm on the phone right now, and that's because I'm looking at film and I'm trying to find something that I can say, this is what Manny does better than Floyd, and I can't find anything. And you being the veteran, you being a world champion, please tell me. What am I not seeing?
The only thing I have seen, I don't know if you have seen it, that Manny Pacquiao has is the pity-pat punching speed that he throws. He throws a rapid of punches, but they're not punches that hurt no one. They just da-da-da-da-da, and then he wants to land something, boom. So it's like fireworks, and then you hear some explosion.
Right.
But how can you light off fireworks and there's nothing there to give it fuel? You have no gunpowder, but you just pop, 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 pop.
Right.
Hang on for a second, Park. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you finish. Chop, I actually want to ask you something on that because that right there is what has made me feel like he does have a chance, because I know that in the eyes of the judges, you know, that stuff, even when you're not landing, it looks good. so guys get credit for it. But we have rarely seen Mayweather hit with a combination. Do you think that Pacquiao in each round will be able to land enough combinations for it to really make a difference? Because I don't think Floyd is going to be there, but you're right, he does have fast hands. Do you think that that will make a difference in the end, you think?
It's a good statement, because the speed that Manny Pacquiao has, and the only way you stop speed is timing. And once Floyd timed him, at that split set moment, he's going to catch him in between running them shots off. And it's going to be an explosion that no one is going to be expecting, because he's going to time him, he's going to catch him, and everybody's going to be like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're going to be shocked, because the way you beat a person with speed is timing. And that was the reason I hit Floyd with them shots I hit him with. It was the perfect timing when he was running his shots off on me.
Interesting. Okay. Park, I'm going to let you go ahead and finish up. Go ahead, my man. I had to ask that question, but the mic is yours. Go ahead.
Vito, school is in session. I don't want to talk anymore. I just want to hear talk. I just want to hear Chop Chop talk. You can take the next caller, brother. Thank you, Chop Chop.
All right, guys. That was my man Park right there. You know, that's something that I've gone back and forth with, and you got me thinking too, Chop, though. You mentioned about the timing and that whole thing. You know, I can't think, like, who – okay, let me ask you this. Who have we seen face Manny Pacquiao that has been able to time him like that? I mean, Marquez is not a fast fighter, but he was able to go tooth and nail four times with Pacquiao because of his ability to time him, just exactly what you're saying. When you think Mayweather and you think Marquez, you think basically Marquez, bigger, stronger, faster, longer type thing. Do you think that Mayweather will have the same level of success timing him as Marquez? Because the reason that I asked that before you answer, I think Marquez has a penchant to stand in the pocket and take a licking to land a few shots. I don't know if Mayweather's going to do that. Do you think Mayweather will have the same counterpunching success, though?
I do, 100%. And over the years, Floyd didn't take risks, pretty much. He done what he had to do to win, but he's at the end of his career. He's gambling more. He's setting down more. He proved in the first Madonna fight that I can do this, and he took shots. In the second fight, he proved that he don't have to do that and take shots, and I'm going to beat him this way, my easy way. So in the Shane Mosley fight and the Mayweather fight, Shane knew he wasn't faster than Floyd. So he timed Floyd with that right hand. It was a timing. Now, Manny Pacquiao is faster than Floyd. Now it's going to be on the other end of the stick. Floyd is going to time him.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's interesting logic right there, man. This, I don't know. Trust me, I don't have near the boxing experience you guys do. I've done a little bit of it, but no, it's different. And that southpaw angle is it's a beast. For any of you guys out there that hang around gyms and you like the break of sweat and try and box a little bit, I invite you to step in with a southpaw. I tried it one time. Honestly, thank God it wasn't a street fight, because it might have got ugly. I mean, you handle your biz, you do what you got to do, but that southpaw angle is not easy, man. And when it's coming with speed, you know, it can be a beast to deal with. But, you know, let me ask you one other question, Chop. Body work.
Okay.
You know, we spoke about Floyd sitting on his punches and all that type of stuff. When you look at how he's training and what he's doing, do you think, I heard you mention that Floyd could possibly stop him, do you think that a stoppage could come via body work against the southpaw? Because I know he has that penchant to throw that one punch in particular to the body. Do you think he could stop Manny to the body?
I think he can stop him to the body more than he can stop him to the head.
That's interesting.
Because he's a bigger fighter. He's punching down. And when punches are coming down, they have more force on the punches because they're coming down at an angle. And Manny will have to lower his height also, try to flip punches. So the shot's going to land a lot on his head. But if Manny raises up, then the shot's going to go underneath the arm, underneath the elbows, and he's going to do more damage. It take a lot of steam out of Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah. I tell you, man, this is a hell of a fight to break down. I've been doing it for about 2 weeks now, Monday through Friday, and every night I speak to someone different, whether it be a trainer, a writer, a fighter, whatever. I always hear a perspective that makes me think. and for the most part, kind of changes my own. You know, I don't know how this all plays out, but I know we got a hell of a fight on our hands. Tell you what, though, guys, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to shut it down. I see a number of you in queue, but few are actually in to talk right now, so it looks like we got a lot of listeners out there. Before I let you go, Chop, let me just bottom line it. I didn't hear you say that again.
I said we can pick this back up tomorrow.
Hey, you know, I don't mind having you back on, man. I'm good with that, definitely. But, yeah, 100% I want you back on before they actually fight for some final predictions. But I actually want to ask you that now. When we look at this fight for what it is, a couple weeks out, if you had to put money on it right now, how would you predict this fight ending?
Well, we know Floyd is the favorite, and I want to make some money. I will bet Manny Pacquiao. I will bet Manny Pacquiao will win at least two rounds out of the first six.
Okay.
He's going to win. He's going to win two rounds out of the six. Out of the first six. I don't know what the odds are on
that's
it.
Fair.
That's how I will place my bet. I'll bet
that's
the rounds.
Fair.
He's going to win some rounds out of one through six. And then. Me being a betting person and I have a lot of money, I go look at the odds and see what the odds are for the fight being a draw.
Wow.
Because
go ahead, finish that. I got a question for you when you're done. Go ahead.
The fight is going to make so much money, and if it's a close fight and Floyd don't knock Manny Pacquiao down, Manny Pacquiao don't knock Floyd down, and it's a close fight, they're going to call it a draw, and you all know why. It's got to be a rematch. It's a draw, so we got to do it again. It's going to make $1 billion. So I would bet $100, whatever the odds is, that the fight be a draw.
Wow. You know what, man? When we see that kind of stuff in the sport, see, here's my logic. This fight is big. This is biggest fight ever, arguably the biggest sporting event ever, so the world will be watching. I don't want to see any questionable decision. If it's legitimately tight and people from both sides think that, you know, hey, yeah, he won, whatever, then let's do it. You know, it's good. Let's see it happen again. But if it's not legitimately close and Floyd actually looks great, and should have won it, but they get a draw. I'm not going to like that too much, but I think what you're saying is totally right. For money alone, we could see it again.
Yeah. Looking at a billion-dollar fight.
Oh, boy. Hey, when you think of the fact that it took them 5 years to make this one, I don't even know if I want to see these guys have to negotiate again. That could get ugly. At least this time, everybody, go ahead. What's up?
I don't think it would be a long negotiation on the rematch because so much money will be at stake. Neither one of them will be able to argue you're getting $400 million for a rematch or you're getting $600 million, he's getting $300 million. Look, we need to get this done within 120 days. Give us 6 months to promote the fight and make it happen.
Wow. Yeah, man, you could be right, Chop. You could be right. I guess it would depend on how it goes, though. If it's, see, here's the thing. If it's tight and it goes to a rematch, I think that we could see a situation where Team Pacquiao, like let's say Mayweather wins and it's close. I think that they are definitely going to want a larger piece of the pie. You know, if there's a Pacquiao victory, you know, Mayweather's still the bigger draw. I don't think he's going to settle for a 50-50. Like, it's, I don't know. I just, as easy as it should be, I still think it could be a nightmare trying to figure that out. But I guess we'll find out May 2nd, man. It's going to be interesting one way or the other.
Yep.
Yeah, the definitely interesting. But, hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said the world cannot wait.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's going to be the night that the world stands still. Trust me.
One thing, if there are people on other planets, I know they would love to watch this fight also. So we need to get find out if there are people on other planets so we can get the fight over there.
Hey, that's about the only where that's the only place that there that we don't have any knowledge of right about now. It's crazy, man. The intensity for this fight. I mean, everywhere I go, you know, everyone I know, everywhere I go, this is what they're bringing up. It's amazing. People I didn't even know had interest in the sport are asking about this one, man. And I didn't think we would get this a few years ago. You know, when it was looking ugly and like they would never come to terms, I didn't think it would get anywhere near this. So it's pretty interesting, man. I don't know. But, hey, listen, before I let you go, Chop, for the fight fans out there listening who wants to know where to find you or, you know, got questions for you, whatever, give them your Facebook info, your Twitter info. Hit them with all the goods before we drop off air.
All right, well, my Instagram is Chop Chop Corley, no spaces all together. My boxing name and my last name together on Instagram. My Facebook is DeMarcusCorley at yahoo.com. And my boxing apparel Facebook is Chop Chop Corley at Facebook. My Twitter is at DeMarcus. And I'll stay tuned and I look forward to talking to y'all once again.
Hey, good stuff, man. Great to have you on. Appreciate you coming on, especially under the circumstances, man. Rest those feet up. I want to get an opportunity to see. Yeah, I'm hoping we get to see you back in the ring here soon.
You will.
All right, my man. Thanks for calling, and we will definitely get you back on before these guys get in the ring, man. Thanks for coming on, though.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Chop. Be good, big man. All right, ladies and gents, that was DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley in the building with us to talk to Mayweather Pacquiao. Really interesting thoughts he gave right there, man. It's crazy because I thought I knew where I wanted to go at this one, but every time I talk to someone new, I get a different perspective that kind of shake me up and send me in a different direction. But it's all good. We still got another 2 weeks for me to figure it out. A lot of fight film I'll be watching in the process. But tomorrow night we'll be right back. I'll post on Facebook for those of you who follow me. Look on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'll post and give you a little more insight into our guests and some more of the things we're going to touch on. But on that note, I do want to thank you guys for checking us out tonight here on Left Hook Lounge Radio. Like always, just want to say peace, God bless, one love, father of two, friend to all, love of one, second to none. Night, ladies and gents.
The Brooklyn boys, so for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? As for me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap, rape, dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing jets, blow